Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there. When Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. We advise that this broadcast may be appropriate to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Discretion is advised.
All right, we finally made it in there. It is July the 2nd. I'm sorry about missing last night. I called concreting
plenty of time that I got stuck out there. There's a place out there between Seligman, or between Ash Fork, Arizona, and Flagstaff. And on the eastbound side, I don't know what it is, but the last couple of times I've been over there, we've seen traffic backed up during regular work hours for miles. And I got caught in one of those, and just shut the truck off and wait. And it cost me 45 minutes or an hour, so I wasn't able to make it in last night, and I apologize for that. But we're here tonight. It just means we need to talk faster because we've got way lots of stuff to talk about. Unbelievable. I can't believe all the stories I've got. I need to find the first one here. By the way, if you guys interested in taking a what we call the fighting lever action class, we're looking at dates here right now. The editor from, or one of the editors, or he's just, anyway, he writes stories for SWAT magazine, wants to come and take that class, and they're going to do a story on the fighting lever action class. So if you'd like to come in here and get in on that, let us know and we'll see if we can arrange that for you. I think that'll be a lot of fun, and it may actually wind up being in January. So we're still waiting. He sent me some dates here to see when might be a good time to for him to take that. So sometime here in the next week or so, I ought to be able to find out how that would work. Excuse me. Let's see here. I need to put some of these on here. I was waiting. We couldn't get on there for a little bit, and I've been struggling working with that, so let me get caught up here and get my stories lined up here like they ought to be. And hang on just a minute. While we're trying to get this done, I guess the first thing I ought to do is go over here in the chat room and see how many people we got on here. Mountain Shooter, have you guys seen... This is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen in my life. They've got this, I think it is Advanced Technologies, I believe, has all this tricked out stuff to put on a lever action with a collapsible stock and all this, and just absolutely destroys the beautiful lines and balance and everything of the lever action rifle. And it's fine to have a synthetic stock if you want and all that, but this thing had rails all over the fore-end. I mean, it looks dumb. And I think it lost a lot of its functionality and certainly a lot of its balance and smooth lines and fast handling with all its stuff they put all over it. But that's not the purpose of our fighting lever action class. The Doc, if you want to use AR-15s in a Marlin 336, that requires a little bit of machining to make those fit in there just right. Actually, probably quite a bit. And you probably never will make it feed, but you can probably make them fit sooner or later. But and, Doc, you ought to like this story. I don't. The military helicopters, you know, all of them, as far as I know, or most of them, are named after Indian tribes. The Apache, Black Hawk, Comanche, Cheyenne, Chinook, the OH-58, that was the Kiowa, I think, and the Lakota, and all these. Anyway... There's some guys, the managing editor. Now, why would the managing editor of a magazine, his name's Simon Waxman, not a magazine, I guess it's a paper, the Boston Review. He says it's a shameful injustice perpetrated by the American government. What he's doing is he's using the momentum that the Washington Redskins controversy is brought up here. And he's jumping out there now and saying that all these things named after Indian tribes, terrible thing that the government has done. He says the government is essentially shoving this, the conquering of the Indians right back in their faces. I guess there's more than one way to look at it, but the way it's described here in see, where did this quote come from? He says it's worse than denial, it's propaganda. The message carried by the word Apache emblazoned on one of America's greatest fighting machines is that the Americans overcame an opponent so powerful and true that we are proud to adopt its name. They tested our mettle and we proved stronger, so don't mess with us. In whatever measure it is a tribute to the dead, it is in great measure a boost to our national sense of superiority, and this message of superiority is shared not just with U.S. citizens, but with those of 14 nations whose government buy the Apache helicopters we sell. It's shared, too, with those who hear the whir of the Apache overhead and find its guns trained on them. So I wonder if he... What in the world's going on? Let me stop this stuff here. Hang on just a second. You know what? I'm going to have to play something clever here for just a second, and I'll be right back, so... Let me find something here for you. How about this? Give me a minute and I'll be back here.
Keep us safe. mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom laying down their lives. I pray God's grace will keep you safe from harm till we bring you boys back home. Till we bring you boys back home. Till we bring you boys back home.
All right, we had a little short kid emergency there we had to take care of, so we'll make our break pretty short here in a little bit. But anyway, this guy with the newspaper is trying to get the United States government to quit naming helicopters after Indians, and I don't know what else to say about that. I'm floored. I'm just flabbergasted. The stupidity of these people, they just knows no bounds. I can't believe some of the things that we get out of these people. It's just amazing to me. Well, anyway, amazing as it may seem, we need to hurry up here and get through some of these things. Damn, where to start? We've got so many of them here. Let's start with another EPA raid. We'll try to get some of these lined up here and get going just as quick as we can. But this is in, let's see, CDA Press. That should be probably Coeur d'Alene. Yeah, up in Hayden, Idaho. I still have a little bit of a problem with how come that FDA has SWAT teams, and EPA has SWAT teams, all these people. Everybody has a SWAT team except me. Well, I don't know. I got a pretty good SWAT team, I guess. But there's a place up there called the Reuter Guys. They executed a search warrant on the Reuter Guys. And when they called and asked them about it, they confirmed that the unit was armed. If you need anything else, you'll have to talk to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boise. That was all they would say about it. They said, didn't say anybody had been charged with a crime. Warrant was served, but added that nobody has been charged with a crime. And I'd like to know how. Well, I guess that's pretty normal. They serve a warrant, and if they don't find anything, I guess there's no charges. But they're investigating a possible illegal discharge. I think what they're talking about is some chemical substance or something into the water, into a creek or something like that. But the manager said the EPA was sifting through business records, but wasn't at liberty to discuss the raid. They showed up 8:30 in the morning. Said, I've never seen that before. These guys are wearing bulletproof vests with federal agent written across the back. Now, that's probably ought to write some of that across the front, too. I think, remember we had the other day, the guy got in trouble for shooting two or three of them, didn't know who it was, because it was all looked like ninjas there in the front, because there was no markings. He said while the agents were raiding the building, another vehicle was removing sewer caps along the street here and taking samples. They said it looked like the EPA was investigating some illegal dumping. So there's probably going to be more to this story after they do their investigation and let it out. But I'm still completely at a loss here as to why, when something like that, do you really think you're going to walk up to what is probably a reputable business with, two, three, five, ten people working? And don't you think you could walk up there just as easy with maybe a couple of uniformed cops and a couple of suits and walk up there and hand them a warrant and say, we need to check on this, that, and the other thing here. We've got a crew coming in. We're going to have to cease operations here for a little bit. why do they have to show up with fully armed SWAT team? I got sawdust in my eyes here. I've been working on a chicken pen out there. Why do they have to pull up with fully armed SWAT teams just for something like that? Just completely bumfuddles me. I just don't get it. But I guess, like the problem with so many other things in this world, is they just simply didn't ask me first. And then I would probably understand it better. So let's move on here. We got lots of these things to do. This, well, I'm not going to read that one to you. I might if we have some time at the end of the show. It's pretty funny. So there seems to be some misunderstanding, a big misunderstanding by the United Nations. They seem to have the mistaken belief that they are going to be coming for our guns. And I think what we have little signs that clarifies that for everybody. It says, there's a picture of a couple of little armored vehicles on there. What it says is the UN thinks they're coming for our guns, but in reality, they're just bringing us theirs. And that's on some signs that we have out there. So somehow, and I don't know where they got this notion that they're somehow going to be involved in taking our guns. Peacekeepers? Isn't that what the United Nations is supposed to be? And why is it that they think that they have... I just don't think it's going to turn out well. I really don't. There's no way... I think what they're probably hoping for is that they will come into town with a big show of force and just put out the announcement that, you know, we're here to get the guns. You know, bring them out here to the trucks and you know, there'll be some armed agents, armed soldiers coming into your home to double-check and make sure we got them all. And you just bring them out here and dump them in these bins right here. I don't know. I don't know how they intend to do it. That doesn't make any sense. Undoubtedly, there will be a few that'll say, "Oh my God, no, they're coming! Oh, here, get the guns! Come on, get them out of here! It's not worth dying over. Let's just load them up." No, it is worth dying over. What we need to determine, what they need to determine, is this, if it's worth them dying over. As I said in one of my sound deals there, you know, we are willing to die to maintain our rights. Are you willing to die to take them away? That's what you need to ask yourself before this starts. But I just can't see that it's going to turn out well, no matter how they go about doing it. And I can't for the life of me figure out a good way that they're going to do it. When they come to a place like Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Wyoming, Montana, the Nebraskas, how long is it going to take them to pack up these armored vehicles and go house to house? I tell you what, there's a bunch of country boys out there. There's a whole lot of country boys out here that can reliably hit a man-sized target out past 1,000 yards. Now, yes, we understand that they have weapons that will get that 1,000 yards just as well. But if we're off out in the hills, in the bushes and trees and whatnot, and utilize the skills that we've learned to hunt and all this stuff, I just can't figure out how they expect this to be productive for them. They'll get some, I'm sure, but they need to be real, real sure that we're going to get some too. And once we start getting some of their stuff, then we're going to even up the odds a little bit. And what they need to determine Do they want to go back to their country of origin? Or do they want to be buried here? And that's what they're going to need to figure out what they want to do. And I'm sure that there's some good old boys out there that will oblige them if they wish to be buried on American soil. As far as I'm concerned, we'll just load them all up and put them in a truck and go dump them in the ocean. It doesn't matter to me. But the United Nations probably would be better to mind their own business and go pick on a bunch of little skinny Africans with no guns somewhere and make them feel good, give them a sense of being, of like they're somebody, you know. But I don't think they're really going to get that feeling trying to take guns from Americans anywhere in the country, much less here in the Southwest. But anywhere in the country, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them. And Peanut Rider, you're probably right, and I'm glad you made it in here, by the way. The armed vehicles probably do give them a false sense of security. But every vehicle out there, I don't care what it is, everything out there has a weakness. It's just a matter of if you know your vehicles well enough to know what that weakness is, and if you have the capability to use that weakness, to capitalize on that weakness of that vehicle. So we'll see how all this works out for them. I'm kind of thinking that it's they're going to have to sit back, think long and hard on this. The meeting here said the United Nations is on a collision course with the United States Constitution's Second Amendment, the natural right of all people to defend themselves. This is something that the Second Amendment, the Foundation, stated here. Let's see, what is the date on this? 24 June, so it would have been a couple of weeks ago when they... a week and a half ago when they had the meeting. But apparently the director said the program of action seems unable to acknowledge anything beyond the simplistic notion that civilian firearms are inherently evil. The United Nations has been spearheading civilian gun control efforts in all over the world here. Well, we'll see how that works out for them. We'll let them go for now, and we'll talk about that some more. There will undoubtedly be more news along those lines to talk about here. Let me get down here. This is another one. I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how they're getting away. Oh, yeah, never mind. I know how they're getting away with this. Oh, it's easy. We're letting them. Yeah, that's how they do it. They have these, what they call sneak peek warrants. These sneak peek warrants allow the police to enter your home without notice when you're gone. Yeah, that's what I said. And I'm thinking that... maybe these guys not heard of the Fourth Amendment, maybe? We should probably give them a call and let them know to check that out before they start doing this. But it says this allows cops to covertly enter private residences, perform searches, seize property, and then leave quietly without notifying the homeowner. These searches, affectionately known as sneak and peek warrants, have been performed at a rapidly rising rate since 1911. Now, if you remember, Jeff Black, who was the federal whistleblower and was one of the key participants in the movie Please Remove Your Shoes, about the corruption and stuff in TSA and the Air Marshal Program and whatnot. Mostly TSA, actually, I think it was. But... they entered his home numerous times and were trying to just rattle him. And they'd go in and they'd move stuff around and and leave things differently, and, you know, with the door locked and everything. So he was absolutely confident that his phone was tapped, his house was bugged, and so he was just careful about what he said and what he did there. I don't know who that anonymous is in there, 1046, but you're absolutely right. Suicide's probably not covered. They need to check and see what their life insurance covered. Good point. Yeah, I like that. The problem with the, back to the United Nations thing, they have for years and years dealt almost exclusively with skinnies, you know, little Ethiopians and people in various third world countries out there that have no armament whatsoever to fight back with, and even if they did, haven't got the energy and the health to be able to do that. And so they've pretty well just pushed their weight around. Now they're having to figure out, what exactly are we going to do with 100 million gun owners? At least I would hope that 10 million of them would actually fight back. Okay, infidel, I got you. I see now. I would hope that at least 10 million, at least 10% of that 100 million, I would hope, would actually use those weapons to prevent the UN from getting too big for their britches. And what exactly is our government going to be doing while all this is going on? Well, I don't know exactly. Haven't heard what they're planning on doing. The UN thinks they're going to come in here and do something. Is our government just going to stand by and let them? Did they invite them? Are they paying them to do it? What's going on with that? So get back on track here. These sneak and peek warrants. I can't see how that is not blatantly against the Fourth Amendment, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It said, in private, the government once used a more honest description of the tactic back when it was not legally recognized. They were literally referred to as black bag jobs within the FBI. The Bureau of Domestic Intelligence head William Sullivan revealed in a declassified memo July 19, 1966, he said, "We do not obtain authorization for black bag jobs from outside the Bureau. Such a technique involves trespass and is clearly illegal. Therefore, it would be impossible to obtain any legal sanction for it. Despite this, black bag jobs have been used because they represent an invaluable technique in combating subversive activities of a clandestine nature aimed directly at undermining and destroying our nation." You know, as illegal and wrong as this is, and I recognize that, and I am very much against it. However, if they did it only when they felt that this was something, you know, somebody was involved with the Russians, and they might have, you know, some big high-speed espionage case that would involve taking over America or something, maybe it could be forgiven in some instances where something like that was the cause of it. I'm saying it's right. I'm just saying that, you know, in some cases like that, maybe you just kind of, I know it's not right, I know it's not legal, and I know I shouldn't say this, but I would have an easier time accepting this if I thought that that's all they were doing. But when I find out that they're doing it for somebody selling marijuana cigarette to a 16-year-old out there on the street somewhere or something, that's And that's ultimately what they're doing, is they're just using it for anything they can come up with, for any reason. They have no bound. They already know it's illegal, so they have no boundaries at all when they do this. This thing says the constitutionality of covert searches has been challenged in court several times, and the searches were always upheld. How do you uphold that? In Dahlia versus the United States, 1979, the U.S. Supreme Court called the Fourth Amendment challenge frivolous. Really? Modern courts have followed suit, holding that the tactic posed no Fourth Amendment concerns, and thus signaled the beginning to an era when black bag tactics become legitimate. How is that of no Fourth Amendment concerns when they come into your home and take some of your belongings because they think it might be evidence and not even tell you about it? Why does that pose no Fourth Amendment concerns? There's quite a bit. There's actually a hell of a lot more to this story. But that'll give you something to think about. We need to kind of move on here. We got tons of stuff we need to talk about here before the night's over. But let's see. That was my lovely wife. Okay. All right, let me go down here and grab another one. Let me see how long this is. I wanted to read this to you. It's funny. It's not even, doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's strictly amusing, recreational type thing here. Let me check and see. I've read most of it. Let me see how long it is. On my phone, it looks like it's about a mile and a half long. Yeah, it looks like it's only about a mile and a quarter on here, so maybe I better save that for some other time. Actually, we didn't even take a break or anything, so we'll just keep going. We'll take a nice, leisurely break at the top of the hour. All right, let me get all of them off of this page. Jeez. See, I told you about all those. Sorry, I should have had this done while I should have been doing this. We were trying to get the servers working earlier. So I was a little bit behind the curve here. So here's a lot of anti-gun stuff going on in the news right now. And we've got several things we need to talk about. We don't in no particular order here. Well, that was just great. Let me try that again. Jeez, really? Let's do that one more time. All right, that looks better. In Mississippi, Doc, buddy, you need to go down and handle this. You got to go down and take care. This is the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I would expect this in California or Massachusetts or somewhere. But in Mississippi, that'd be like saying it happened in Arizona or Oklahoma or something. Mississippi's always had pretty decent gun laws. Well, this isn't a legal thing. It's not about laws. It's about stupid. In Lumberton, Mississippi, there's a place called Keith's Superstore. And this was back. It's a new story, but it goes back a couple of months. The story just come out day before yesterday. But anyway, the manager was attacked by a guy named Lamont Williams, who they thought was went postal, actually. They figured he was a disgruntled former employee. Well, there was a guy in there that had his concealed weapons permit who just happened to be shopping in the store about that time, and he noticed Mr. Williams start stabbing the manager, stabbing her, like with a sharp instrument, a knife or something. He didn't shoot her, he stabbed her. So the concealed weapons holder, who had conveniently brought a gun to a knife fight, because the lady was being stabbed, and he drew his weapon, stopped the assault immediately, and that's probably wise on Mr. Williams' part there, because he was stabbing someone, and the guy with the gun pulled the gun out and said, well, I think I'll stop stabbing her right now, because he's got a gun. So they held him at gunpoint until the cops got there. Manager was taken to the hospital in critical condition, but she did survive and will make a successful recovery. The whole thing captured on video surveillance there. No shots were fired. Police arrested the bad guy who was doing the stabbing on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge and was given an initial cash bond of $150,000. Store manager is going to survive, all due to the fact that there was a concealed weapons holder there who was willing to step up and take care of business. So, happy ending, yes? No. Since this incident, where the lady was being stabbed, it has been confirmed that Keith's Superstore has posted a no gun sign on the front door. No guns. No, you don't want to bring guns into Keith's Superstore, because why? I don't understand. Why she was being stabbed. So that means that the guy who stopped this attack and without question saved this manager's life, they put up a no gun sign so she wouldn't be stabbed anymore. You know, it's times like this that I just want to put on the auto DJ and just delete all my crap and just quit. I don't get it. Doc, you're 30 miles away from here. Maybe you could go ask those folks. Go in there with your very, very professional radio voice and say, "Hi, I'm with Just Measures Radio Network, and we'd like to ask you why you're so freaking stupid," or something along those lines. And let us know how that worked out. Maybe you could go down there and change their mind. At the very least, they should put up a no knife sign. Oh, God. These signs have just been put up recently. They were not up at the time of the March stabbing. This was three months ago, whatever it was. So you guys are going to have to walk me through this. You're going to have to help me, to carry me through, because I don't understand. I've told you a number of times that I'm absolutely not the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes to understanding how some of this stuff works. So if you could come up with a reason why they've put up a no gun sign when the manager was being stabbed to death. She was in critical condition when hauled her out. She was still being stabbed, in the process of being stabbed some more, when the guy pulled out the gun and said, "Please stop doing that." And the guy said, "Okay, I will. I'm going to stop right now because I don't want to be shot." But so now when the lady gets well and the guy gets out of jail, he's going to come back and say, "I'm going to stab you some more, because I know now that guy is not going to be there with the gun. So we're just going to go ahead and get this finished, because they put up a no gun sign, which has nothing to do with my knife." So, with these new signs in place, Lamont Williams, when he gets out of jail, would still be welcome to bring his knife into the store. Okay, there you go. I'm gonna give it a few minutes here and see if you guys might be able to work that out for me. And we're going to take a nice long leisurely break here because we skipped one a while ago. So let me find some stuff here. All right. Good enough. Give me a few minutes and
I'll be back.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in running command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Just Measure Radio Network.
Command. Or from Party Leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless governed is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day.
Come. Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay, we're back. Let's see if we can move along here. We got a lot of things we need to talk about. So let's start with just a quick mention of your president here. Here about a week ago, he held a town hall thing in Minnesota where he outlined his continued aggressiveness towards basic common sense gun control, as he calls it, which includes, get this, I can't imagine that he'd come up with this all by himself, background checks. So you can't just walk into a store and buy a semi-automatic. Oh, wait. Mr. President, we've been doing that for like a while now for single shots and lever actions and yes, semi-automatics. So they posted a video of the town hall where Obama responded to a question about reducing gun violence in the nation. Here's part of his response. He said, and I quote, "This is the only advanced country that tolerates something like this. We have what's basically a mass shooting. It seems like happening every couple of weeks. Kids on college campuses, kids at home. And we're not going to be able to eliminate all that violence. And there's a strong tradition of gun ownership. Wonderful folks who are sportsmen and hunters, and I respect all that. But we should be able to take some basic common sense steps that are, by the way, supported by most responsible gun owners, like having background checks so you can't just walk into a store and buy a semi-automatic." They said that there was a wee bit of applause when he mentioned the need for background checks to keep that from happening. And so evidently, these few people that applauded him here, didn't know that we've been doing that since 1994, 1993. Semi-automatic or not, every retail firearm purchase all has to have a background check. Well, unless you're in some place like Arizona where your background check has already been taken care of with your concealed carry permit in Wyoming and some of those places. But actually, I don't know if Wyoming ever got theirs taken care of or not. At the time, it had to be that your license had to have been good for at least 5 years as part of the federal standard there before it would be used as a substitute for a call-in background check. But so, remember here, what was it, a week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about that group, Ceasefire, remember that? There's some guy here, you look at his pic, he's a punk to start with, you can just look at him, at his picture here and tell he's a dirtball. But, this was in Chicago, he's a member of Ceasefire. And he has been arrested for rape. Said on the streets, this guy's named Richard Hernandez, surprise, surprise, was supposed to stop violence as what they call an interrupter in this much-celebrated ceasefire program. But they, the cops in Chicago, I guess, have got another name for him. They're calling him a rapist. He faces 36 counts, charging him with sexually assaulting and kidnapping a teenage girl while he was working for the program. He was among at least 9 employees of the anti-violence program that faced serious criminal charges in recent years. Police, I guess, have had suspicion about this whole program here for some time. And about whether this ceasefire provide cover for employees to do other things. And apparently it's working all right. They point to another ceasefire worker, Sylvester Hudson, charged last year with selling heroin to a federal informant right outside ceasefire's headquarters. Another employee sentenced to Cook County boot camp in 2011 for possession of a machine gun, a fully automatic weapon. Since 2010, 5 other ceasefire employees have been sentenced to federal prison and a 6th sentenced to probation in drug cases. So there you go. Ceasefire is, I'm going to drop a picture here in the chat room of this guy. And tell me what you think he looks like there. Oh, well, I see Mouse has joined us. Good to have you. Always good to see you coming. Always great to see local folks come in here. Looks like she's got news about the fire. They just got home from a meeting. I didn't go to the meeting this time. I figured it was close enough to being done. They didn't need my help. So right at 7,000 acres, 70% containment. That's very good. So unless something very dramatic comes up, the wind changes or something, well, we're actually getting a lot of cool weather and clouds, a little bit of rain like crazy in Sholo. It rained about 8 inches out here. I mean, you know, one drop every 8 inches on the ground for about a minute and a half, and that was the end of that. But anyway, let's see here. Yeah, Kilo, that's what I was talking about here in Arizona, too. If you have the concealed carry permit, there's no background check since you've already passed it to get your permit. And that's true in a number of states now. You just fill out the 4473, pay the man, and thank you very much, walk out the door. It's that simple. I like it. All right, let me see where I'm at here. Here's a good thought. I like this idea. Of course, it'll never fly because we are too compassionate for this. If they'd put, you know, I'm not that compassionate. I'm still for putting landmines on the border down there, and that would, I think that would solve this problem really quick. But the next best thing, we have a Republican out of Texas says that he has the solution to this. Randy Weber has introduced a bill that would hold Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador accountable for their citizens' illegal migration by suspending all foreign aid to those countries. What a novel concept. Of course, quit paying them to send the illegals over here. What a neat idea. Why didn't we already do that? Why are we paying them? Why do we have foreign aid to start with? So we're paying these people to send their trash over here. Perfect idea. Outstanding. Not. All right, let me go get another. I'm sorry this is a little bit disorganized tonight, but I didn't quite have all my ducks in a row here, and I've got so many things after missing last night. I have so many things I need to talk about. I don't know if I need to talk about them or if you need to hear them, but one or the other of them, there's a need here somewhere. So we're going to try to take care of that. Now, I have a real special story and a special guest for you here in a little bit. It's a guy out of Houston, Texas that got in a little discussion with today, and then we're going to review that discussion. Matter of fact, there's an important topic we're going to come up with here in a little bit. So, what has Hillary said about this Hobby Lobby ruling? And we talked about this Monday night a little bit, and say that Hobby Lobby won, but did they really win? Of course they did, I guess, in the decision and the legislation of this. Of course, they're challenging that. They're trying to figure out a way to overturn it. But now, you know, they're threatening to burn down stores and stuff all over the country. But what did Hillary say about this? She turned her back here on her own country, on the White House, and has likened the Supreme Court's ruling in this Hobby Lobby case to countries that practice Sharia law to discriminate against women. So because Hobby Lobby doesn't feel right about paying for your birth control because you're too stupid to keep your legs closed and your pants on, and the taxpayers somehow are responsible for, that's kind of like putting up the no gun sign after there was a stabbing. I'm having a hard time understanding this, but I guess she never came out and identified the country she was comparing the five Supreme Court justices to, but made it clear what their most recognizable features are. She said, and I quote, "It is a disturbing trend that you see in a lot of societies that are very unstable, anti-democratic, and frankly prone to extremism, where women and women's bodies are used as the defining and unifying issue because of their religion, their sect, their tribe, whatever." this is another one of those things, another one of many things that we're going to talk about before the night's over that I way don't understand. Sharia law. That makes perfect sense to me. I understand now. Now I know why we don't like Obamacare so much, because if we don't pay for your birth control, we're no better than Sharia law, than the Muslims. Islam. I shouldn't say Muslims. I should say Islam. I think that's the proper, paying the proper respect to them there. So, there's another guy here, another White House spokesman, I guess, the new guy. He He's the new spin doc, or the new the press secretary, who replaced Jay Carney. And apparently Jay Carney just simply got tired of lying for the president, so he's got another liar to help him. And he was asked about this decision here in the Hobby Lobby case. And during the course of his answer, he accidentally told the truth. It wasn't what he'd planned to do, I'm sure. He said there are now a group of women of an indeterminate size who no longer have access to free contraceptive coverage. He probably didn't mean to put that word free in there. It's not, you know, Jay Carney probably had more experience when it done that, but there's no such thing as free contraceptive coverage because somebody's going to pay for it, and it would be, frankly, folks that work and pay taxes and stuff are paying for this free stuff. Free to them, the freeloaders, I guess. But so the next point is, Ernest is lying when he told the truth. Women who work for Hobby Lobby still have access to quote unquote free contraceptive coverage in the form of 16 different types of birth control offered by Hobby Lobby's insurance policy. The only ones not covered are the, what do they call them, the abortifacients or something like that, the abortion pills. Anyway, so Hobby Lobby's got some neat stuff out here. I actually had a story on that somewhere. I don't know if I can find it. I got so damn many stories backed up here from the last 2 days. It's unbelievable. That's what I do when I'm driving down the road going to the ranch. Nobody out there on the interstate highway, and I just thumb along through. I know I'm not supposed to do that when I'm driving, but I do sometimes. And I got to have a couple of gun deals. I'll save these for tomorrow night. Let's see. We're working up towards our key deal here tonight. Let's see. Let me get this one. Here we go. Now back to Hobby Lobby here. Oh, dear me. Obama said, you know, he's been saying this way too much lately. What he says is he's going to use executive action to override the Hobby Lobby decision. He's going to override a 5-4, or what was it? Was it a 5-4 decision? Or I don't remember. Anyway, whatever it was, it's a legal. I mean, I assume that what the Supreme Court judges decide to do is supposed to be okay. That's why they're there. But he says he's already looking at whether or not he can swing his executive hammer regarding the Supreme Court decision against contraception mandate in Obamacare. And, it was a 5-4 decision here. The Democrats have already come out and voiced their opposition to the ruling, which they believe will help them boost voter turnout in November if they frame it as part of the GOP's attack on abortion rights. According to Capitol Hill, it said in a 5-4 decision in the case generally known as Sebelius, is that how you say that woman's name? Sebelius? Versus Hobby Lobby. The court ruled that closely held, that's what they call it, I don't think that's actually what it was, but the court ruled that closely held companies, those that are owned and controlled by a very small number of people, are covered by the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which guarantees that government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion. So, I think that, personally, I don't no it have a damn thing to do with religion. I just think it has everything to do with just morals and values and whatnot. I don't know that they even need to drag religion into it. But I guess I'm glad they did, because if they hadn't have, then evidently we probably wouldn't have this favorable decision that we have here. But at any rate, let's move on here. We got things to go, places to go, things to do, places to go, and people to see. Let me close out a couple of these things here, because I'm getting overcrowded. All right, let's drag up another one. I have no shortage of things to talk about here. I don't remember what this one is. Oh boy. Yeah, there's a couple of them here that ought to be fun. I think this is one of them. You guys can just bear with me for just a minute while I'm muddling through this here. Let's see. Here it comes. Wait for it. Really, well, this doesn't seem to be what I bargained for. Alright, well, I have a cure for that. We'll go grab another one. Oh, did you hear that our Marine was freed? The Marine that's been in jail down there for 5 months in Mexico? Well, he's out. He's back in the States with his family. And the whole thing to me seems very, very strange, very disappointing how it did happen the way that it did. But whatever the case may be, the ultimate goal here has been achieved, and he is home with his family, and that's awesome. He had a there's some conflicting thing. Taking a gun into Mexico is very, very risky, very difficult. You have to have certain types of license, certain types of gun, and even then, they may just say, you know, I don't remember giving you that license, so won't you go to jail and we'll sort this out here in a few months. You just go over and sit and wait until we call you. So this guy's been sitting there for 5 months. And not only has he been in a jail cell, he's had chains, you know, hand, what do you call them, foot cuffs, when they have it locked around your ankle. Anyway, he's been in there for months. What he tried to do, he had a family heirloom shotgun that he'd called and talked to him about it and told him what was going on, and they told him that it was going to be okay. It said, let's see. Now they're saying, we sincerely appreciate the efforts on the part of Mexican authorities to ensure that an appropriate resolution was made in accordance with Mexican law, and that Mr. Hammer will be free to spend the holidays with his loved ones. My response to that would have been, okay, our guy's out. Bend over, grab yourself by the knees, put your head between your legs, and kiss your ass goodbye, and nuke him. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but we appreciate their efforts. No, we don't. We don't appreciate nothing about them. No American should be in jail for 5 months without being able to go before a judge. Or 1 month, or 5 weeks, or whatever. The defense lawyer said Mexican authorities determined that there was no intent to commit a crime. It took them 5 months to figure out that there was no intent to commit a crime. There was another guy with him. They turned him loose since it wasn't his gun. They said his family has said he's been held in isolation after threats to his safety, because they've been threatening him for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe because he's white, maybe because he's American, or a combination of the two. I don't know. But anyway, civilian gun ownership is illegal in most cases in Mexico unless the owner purchases the weapon from a special shop run by the country's Department of Defense. Department of State warns all U.S. citizens against taking any type of firearm or ammunition into Mexico. Entering Mexico with a firearm, certain types of knives, or even a single round of ammunition is illegal, even if the weapon or ammunition is taken into Mexico unintentionally. Mexican law also bans shotguns with barrels less than 25 inches. They said the family said that his shotgun was had a 24-inch barrel. Said tourists are allowed to bring guns for hunting on rare occasions, but Mexican officials said all visitors must receive a special permit before entering the country. Mexican customs agents do not issue gun permits. As a result, anybody crossing the border with a firearm or ammunition without a previously issued government permit is an instant violation of Mexican law, which stipulates long jail terms for breaking weapons laws. Said he and his friend are on their way to Costa Rica in August and plan to drive across the Mexican border near Matamoros in a Winnebago filled with surfboards and camping gear. I don't even understand why you would even want to do this. I mean, I don't know that you could sterilize a damn vehicle enough to make it pass, but certainly not mine. I ain't no telling where you might find a 22 shell. There's 22 Magnum shells in the defroster vents and everything else. You'd never be able to get it ready to go. He asked U.S. border agents what to do with the unloaded shotgun. His family said agents told them to fill out a form for the gun, which belonged to his great-grandfather. But when they crossed on the border, and the guy went in there and stopped. We talked about this when it happened. He went in there, stopped, walked up, and said, "Here's my my paperwork. I'm bringing this in. I'm doing it. You know, I'm telling you because I'm honest and I'm trying to do what's right." They immediately impounded the Winnebago, jailed both of them, tell them it was illegal to take the gun in there. All right, well, what a deal. Let me see if we can take our last break here, and we'll get ready to come back here and wrap this thing up. Let's see. Yeah, this looks pretty good.
I'll be back.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
am here in protest with the college students from Georgia State and Georgia Tech.
Protesting what?
Well, they're protesting against equality and change, you know. We don't like the way the government is allowing us to be able to, you know, utilize our various, degrees and, you know, our job market into the, you know, society without it having to be uproared by the, you know, fear of what the government is constantly putting on us. Everywhere I go traveling throughout the train system and the rail system, you have Homeland Security everywhere. So, you know, how can I very well concentrate on, you know, getting a job and getting through school without having to, how can I stay focused without having to worry about, you know, whether or not I'll make it home safe, or, you know, this fear factor that the government has going on with us thinking that something bad is going to happen with our serenity and our peace and our homeland security will become insecure. And it bothers me for these school-age kids to be going through what they're going through. I don't think it's fair at all.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away, but you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medic Chat, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
All right, we're back. I saw that, I didn't catch it in time, it just swept by real quick, but let me go find it here. I have the technology, I can do this. Mouse asked if anyone saw the YouTube video put out by the Catholic Church. Amy sent me that today, and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I plan to, because she was pretty, thought that it was a pretty significant deal. So I'm going to have to go check that out. I'm not sure what the story is on that. But if Amy thinks it's significant, then you can bet your bottom dollar that there's something to it. So I better do that. Looks like Mountain Shooter doing some reloading there. That's good. I'm looking at buying a little... T-Dog says we're breaking up here. Let's see. All right, hopefully. Let me go check my servers here and see what the numbers look like. they both look like they're running pretty smoothly. I think what it is, if you guys are still having trouble, it may be because I have so cotton picking many things open right now, and that may be part of the cause of it. But I'm not going to open anymore, so let me know if it's too bad that you can't listen to it. Hopefully, even if it is, the archive will be good. But surely some of you have heard now, it's a very, very new thing, that Target is saying no guns in their stores. So everybody's all up in arms and going crazy over Target and making this announcement. And I had decided, like I always do, that in the absence of all the facts in a brand new story like this, I wait just a little bit before I get furious. And as it turned out, level head prevailed. Let me tell you what the whole story is. This all started because a bunch of idiots in Texas, and I think primarily in Texas, and maybe in a couple other places, I don't remember, decided that they needed to go, as they say, open carry rifles into some of these stores. And of course, you know, Target just found that handgun laying in the toy department here a month or so ago. So they decided they'd make a political statement and carry these rifles in the store. That's a stupid way. It's just stupid. It served no point whatsoever. Guys, well, it's our right. Yeah, it's your right, but you need to use a little common sense. You don't have to be like a dumbass to exercise your rights. That was just an ignorant thing to do, and it caused consequences that making all of us suffer. And one of those things is that Target has, and everybody's saying that they say no gun on. Well, I'm never going to go to Target again. Well, I would say the same thing if they were putting up signs and that's what their written policy said. However, that is not what it says. They're saying the same thing that Starbucks said. They said, we respectfully request that you don't bring your gun in here. I respectfully will honor that. If I need to go in there, they're not saying I can't, and they're not changing their policy, and it does not affect law. It means if they happen to catch me with a gun, it will be a trespassing issue, and that's all it is. So the way I figure it, if I need to go in there, I will carry concealed and go ahead and take care of my business and get out of there instead of trying to shove it in their face like these stupid idiots in Texas did. And but anyway, the other side of that story is Target has, you know, after they respectfully request, it's different. If you go to like to Costco, they have a written policy on their website that says not just no, but hell no, we don't want your guns in our store. Not only do we not want them, we absolutely forbid you from bringing them in. Okay, well, at that point, we're not going to be friends anymore. They have stepped over the line. They're infringing on my rights. I will not go there. Period. Could I sneak in there being concealed? Yes, I could. That's not the point. Many, it don't matter if they call the cops. It doesn't make any difference. All they can do is ask you to leave. Their policy has not changed. Nothing has changed except making this public statement that says we respectfully request that you don't bring your guns in here. So let them call the cops. The most thing to do, they ask you to get out. If you don't get out, then they can get you with trespassing. Otherwise, it means absolutely nothing. So, and several other stores did the same thing. So when I could go in there concealed into Costco and several other stores that forbid the carrying of guns, yes, I could get away with it. That's not the point. I don't want to give them money. I don't want to help them succeed. I don't want them to be successful. I'm not going to help them to pay their employees and to make a profit when they are taking my rights away and I can't carry it. It is my right to shop somewhere else. It is their right to make that decision, and I respect that. I have no problem with them doing that. It's just that when they do, I am not going to shop there anymore. I'm sorry. I can't do that. So when Target respectfully requests this, then, you know, it's one of those things. So there's a there was an update to this story. Target wanted to make sure everybody understood. I'm sure they caught hell for a little while. But this was just almost immediately. They couldn't have caught too much hell because it happened too fast. I'm sure they got an earful out of a few. But after they issued their statement respectfully requesting that gun owners not bring guns in the stores, it said, let me read the original thing to you here. It said, every day at Target, in everything we do, we ask ourselves what is right for our guests. We make all of our decisions with that question in mind. Questions have circulated in recent weeks about Target's policy on the open carry of firearms in its stores. Today, Interim CEO John Mulligan shared the following note with our Target team members, and we wanted you to hear this update too. The leadership team has been weighing a very complex issue, and I want to be sure everyone understands our thoughts and ultimate decision. As you've likely seen in the media, there's been a debate about whether guests in communities that permit open carry should be allowed to bring firearms into Target stores. Our approach has always been to follow local laws, and of course we will continue to do so. But starting today, we will also respectfully request that guests not bring firearms to Target, even in communities where it is permitted by law. We've listened carefully to the nuances of this debate and respect the protected rights of everyone involved. In return, we ask for help in fulfilling our goal to create an atmosphere that is safe and inviting for our guests and team members. Now, they're being nice about it. I don't agree with it, but they're being nice. It's better than saying, you know what, y'all go pound sand. These guys can carry guns in here if they want to. I wouldn't be any more supportive of that than I am of this. This is a complicated issue, but it boils down to a simple belief. Bringing firearms to Target creates an environment that is at odds with the family-friendly shopping and work experience. Yeah, that may be the way it is in a lot of places, but not in Arizona. Of course, Moms Demand Action and the Bloomberg Bunch got all excited about this, and they're high-fiving each other. We did it this morning. Target took a stand for the safety of our families by officially asking its customers nationwide to leave their guns at home. Blah, 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 blah. Some of the comments here. Somebody's finally making good sense. Good going, Target, for banning guns in the store. Well, all right, wait a minute. With just a very rudimentary understanding of the English language, this was a request, not a ban. Let's ask Target themselves and see what they have to say. A Target spokeswoman, Molly Snyder, said the retailer will not post signs at its stores asking people not to bring guns inside. It is not a ban. There is no prohibition. She said the company decided to make this statement after hearing from people on all sides of this issue. So in short, nothing has changed at Target. So just let it go at that. If you want to respect their respectful request, then go concealed and they won't see it, and that's okay. Let me go and see what's going on in the chat room here. I got into a discussion with a guy from Texas today on Facebook. And, of course, he jumps out there like a lot of people did. Boycott Target for banning guns. Dude, what did I just say? Nowhere, anywhere did it say they were banning guns. They respectfully request that we don't bring guns in there. Huge difference. No speaking to English, I guess. I don't know. So I come up and I said they haven't banned them yet. We'll see if they put signs up. Right now, they respectfully request that we not bring them in. Big difference. If the sign go up and the policy reflects that, then we will aggressively boycott them. That's what I said. He said, smart people start now and wait for the official reversal, not the ban. I said, then we're no better than the left. Facts. We act on facts. Several companies have requested that we do not carry guns in their business, but that doesn't make it illegal. If they catch you, they can ask you to leave, and then it's a trespassing issue. When they actually prohibit guns, and it is illegal for us to carry there, then we act on it. Until then, we can carry concealed, out of sight, out of mind. He said, the fact that they're bowing to infringers, is that something you approve of? If not, you need to learn about being proactive. The left sure knows that strategy. I said, they're not necessarily bowing to anyone. Businesses have the right to do as they wish. Sometimes it's their insurance company's decision, and they have no say-so in the decision. We have to use good sense and be logical and not stoop to their level. By the way, were you at Bundy Ranch or at Quartzsite during their fight with the city, or maybe Cloudcroft when they backed the Forest Service down? How many border operations have you been on? He said, I was not in any of those places. I live a normal life. At what point does asking us not to enjoy our rights become bowing? I don't open carry here in Texas because it is attention I don't desire. I feel safer when only I know for sure. I do care when my rights erode at the edges because that means they become smaller and easier to take away completely. Did your parents teach you that giving in to a bully just gets more aggressors picking on you? Oh, dude, come on. And so I'm starting to get a little irked here, and I said, don't try to be a smartass with me, son. If you weren't at any of those places, then don't talk to me about being proactive. You don't carry openly in Texas because it's against the law. Normal life is not getting involved normal in your world? He's talking about foul words and not me being wrong with the law, and he said, you really need to check your facts before making comments. So I posted a couple of links for him here. Open carry is, in fact, illegal in Texas. There is no provisions for open carry. Now, usually when someone talks about open carry, not usually, always, when we talk about open carry, it means handguns. Where is there anything about open carry or concealed rifles? I guess I must have missed that somewhere. But anyway, I posted a link on there. It said, open carry is illegal in Texas except on your own property, and I think you can do it when you're hunting. Here's the facts. And I said, have a good day. I thought it would be over with then. He said, I can carry my rifle anytime I want. You're wrong in distorting the facts. I'm glad dishonesty is not something most Second Amendment supporters practice or approve of. So he posts the link to Target, and I say, I already know that. I saw it. I know what it says. It says they respectfully request they don't. Nobody, there's no big conspiracy here. They just asked them not to do it. And they have a right to do that. The Constitution is for, if it's for one, it's for all. You know, they can do that. We cannot go there if we want to, but there's no big conspiracy. It's not a government thing. It's not a prohibition. It's just for crying out loud. So, he puts this thing on there and says, Target just did something that will infuriate half the country. And, of course, the story is about the supposed banning of guns. I said, when anyone in the firearms community discusses open carry, they're talking about handguns. Carrying concealed rifles is not really on anyone's mind. To think that Texas is somehow special because they allow open carry of rifles is laughable. Those of us that live in states where freedom rings don't see it as really being all that special. As for your video, yes, it will infuriate ignorant people. We'll wait and see if written policy actually infringes on our rights or if they would rather we didn't before we get, quote-unquote, infuriated and start making a big deal out of it. If they make it policy and post signs, then we'll make a big deal out of it. We don't start crying the sky has fallen with the first mention of something like this. Enjoy what freedom you have there in Texas, James. And he said, dude, you need to understand your enemy. You will be second place in this gunfight if you don't. What are you talking about? This guy is one of those that he's actually has to be a closet liberal because he has to continue arguing. He has to get the last word. He's not about to give in, even if he has to change what he's talking about to begin with. I said, I understand perfectly. People do not become enemies over personal preferences. They become enemies when they start infringing on your rights and shoving unconstitutional laws down your throat. If you respectfully request that I not carry a gun in your home, that does not make you my enemy. Telling me I can't carry one in my home makes you my enemy. As I said, when and if they make it policy, which in turn will make it illegal, then we will boycott them. So he says, you vote with your money. Is that a concept above your level of understanding? You support your enemy and you end up losing. Is that simple enough for you? And then he says, Cope's strategy, when they shoot me, I will shoot back. LOL. And then BB Burner popped in about that time and said, Cope, you're doing a great job keeping your cool. And I said, James, until you're able to think like an adult, maybe you shouldn't type. If you just want to argue, please go somewhere else and do it. He come back up and say, I would say that that's the coward's way out when you're losing. Silence anyone that you can't control. And then I posted that link for him there that said, the target hasn't changed anything. You know, there is no prohibition. There's no ban. Hold on a minute. Amy's texting me here. Okay. So there's no ban on anything. It was the same part of that breaking news thing that I shared with you a while ago. And I said, here you go, James. This is written very simply. You should be able to understand it. I rest my case. And then I said, I posted that story, and I said, that is why we wait before going off half-cocked. And then he comes back. He just won't give up. He said, oh, you mean people like me stood up to them and people like you won't keep up the pressure. And I said, rolling on the floor laughing myself off. I said, you're just like a little banny rooster, aren't you? Is that an age demo? Are you really that silly? I will not be supporting any of these companies that support infringing the second. Are you going to support your enemy? Guy, come on. There's nothing has changed. There is no policy. There's no rule. There's no law. They're not infringing on anything. They're not the enemy. I said, that's fine, James. You go ahead and do whatever it is that little banny roosters do. People like you will continue to argue even when you and everyone else know that you're wrong. You need to step back and try to look at this like a grown-up. Well, that's a fine conversation. Use a mirror so it'll be directed at the right person. Some other guy popped in here and says, Chuck Baldwin once said, never get in a fight with a skunk because even if you win, you'll never smell the same. Also, never argue with stupid people. They'll drag you down to their level and beat you with years of experience. However, you're doing a great job staying calm, Cope Reynolds. So he comes back in and says, why don't you guys all go down to Target unarmed and have a victims meeting? Folks that value their rights will be making other plans. You know, this is the type of guy here. I said, I don't go anywhere unarmed, son, anywhere, ever. I said, you're a smart-mouthed juvenile punk, and I'm growing weary of wasting time on you. Well, good, he said. Then you won't be visiting Target, and that mirror would help you with this conversation, too. So, he thinks he's doing the right thing. He's directing his energy in the wrong direction at the wrong time, the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. What needs to happen is I could, and I hate to do this because I don't want it to sound bad, but we're looking at two Georges here. He being George Custer, me being George Washington. I mean, and that may sound stupid to you. It may be a bad analogy, but if we're talking about someone who might be even the leader of your family, a leader of a small group, or just you making your own decisions, good, bad, or indifferent, you, unless action has been taken, unless there's an attack that has been that is underway, you don't just say, oh, let's ban they're banning guns. Don't ever go there. Boycott the store. Well, or not. I mean, we don't, like, have to right now yet. So, oh, well. Anyway, we, BB Burner private messaged me, and he said, I said something about it. I said, this guy's just about to piss me off. And BB Burner said, I figured that remark about, what was it he said about the coward's way out? He figured that would do it. And I said, what am I going to do? Throw my phone out the window? I mean, I can get as mad as I want, but it's like that old saying goes that about running in the Special Olympics. Even if you win, you're still a retard. That's probably a bad thing to use in mixed company, but it's still for someone arguing on the internet. That's about what it amounts to. So I think that the guy's probably going to cause us enough trouble on this Facebook page that we're going to have to probably eventually eliminate him. I hope he comes to his senses and decides to look at this a little more maturely and join and be a productive part of the effort here. But anyway, let me cruise down through here real quick. A lot of stuff going on in the chat room. And see, Minnie said she don't go to Target anyway because they don't care enough about their customers to keep their data safe. Well, I don't know if it's they don't care enough. I mean, there was looks like there was a mistake made and something happened. I don't remember if it was hackers or what the deal was. But the other thing is, you know, if you want to shop at Target, don't use a card. If you don't use a card, you won't have to worry about it. 007 having some sound problems. I don't know how many other people are. I think Amy was having some problems. That's why she texted me there a while ago. But Minnie says Target now has a policy. If Target doesn't have strict rules about how its security people enforce this policy, I can foresee. Okay, I'm not sure what that's about. All right. Trying to catch up here. I'm sorry about that. I like to try to keep up with the chat room. It's hard to do sometimes when I'm reading all these other stories. You guys get way away from me here. Let's see. Oh, by the way, for starting up a group, Cowboy and 007, I'm glad that I'm glad you mentioned that because I've got a guy in where is he at? I think he's in the Albuquerque area. Looking to start up a group and needs a little advice and wants me to email him some of our documents and stuff about how we got started. And they're not secret, so I don't mind doing that. Okay, well, it looks like I've successfully been able to babble for 2 full hours here and need to start easing towards the door here. I got to get a few things taken care of. My lovely bride will be coming home here in a few days. I've got several things that need to be taken care of. And Amy just texted me now, right now, and said that she will not be doing a show again tomorrow. She's got some, so you're not going to be hearing the beautiful voice of my bride until next Monday. So I don't know how you're going to get on for all these days in a row without her. But actually, she bless her heart. She gets out there and does her best to look up stories, do this, take care of her mom, and do these other things while she's in California and all of that. So I'm kind of glad that she's not. She needs to take a break and relax a little bit. So she'll be back with all of her vigorousness here on Monday. Yeah, Cowboy, I will do that. I think I have your email address, but you can private message it to me in Facebook if you want. I'm pretty sure I've got it somewhere, but go ahead and send it to me anyway. And I will do that tonight before I leave the computer. and I'll send this stuff to you. And you can use it in its entirety, any part of it. It's not protected. It doesn't mean anything. It's what we've used. We've been very successful with it for over 15 years. And there's probably a few minor changes that we would make right now, but very minor. All in all, the biggest part of it would still stand unchanged. So I will get that to you here, Most Ricky Tick, if you'll get me your email address. Okay, babble mode over. I'm getting out of here. I will see you tomorrow night for the all gun-related edition of the Shooting Bench. So, adios.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.